Welcome to another edition of Garden Talk on the Ideas Network. I'm Jill Nadeau. Our guest today is Tova Martin. She is the author of many gardening books, and her latest book, The Garden in Every Sense and Season, is now out in paperback. And we're going to talk with her about bringing garden plants in for the winter and taking your other gardening questions. Would you like help keeping an outside plant healthy until spring? What questions do you have about transitioning your plants indoors? Join the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Tova, hi.
Hi.
It's so nice to talk with you. And I just got the message about that new book. And I remember looking at that when it came out in hardback. It's a beauty, The Garden in Every Sense and Season.
Well, it was a really fun project because, I mean, so few of us actually plug in all our senses when you think about it. We just work.
True.
Right? And there's so much to appreciate. And this is, you know, this is such a timely moment because this is when all the plants that you've had on your patio and on your porch and out, you know, having out in on summer camp outside, they all need to come in pretty soon. Have you had a frost there yet?
I believe in the northern part of the state. Down here, we have not. We've been having some unusually warm weather.
Mm.
Not that I'm complaining, but some people are. So it's coming, though. It's coming.
Yeah, it is coming. So, you know, this is the time that we really kind of need to think about, you know, gathering all those plants back indoors, but we also kind of need to think about maybe collecting new plants to keep us company, because I don't know about you, but I would not make it through the winter without my therapeutic houseplants, my buddies.
Yeah.
My botanical buddies.
That's true. And they make the inside so much better. There's nothing like looking out the window at the nasty snow and then seeing the lovely greenhouse plants in front. So
Yeah. And, you know, it's so easy. You know, if you get the right plants and you know, all you have to do is remember to water them. It's not so difficult, and they give you so much pleasure.
They do. Well, let's get down to some basics now. Let's talk about our houseplants, because a lot of us take our houseplants that we usually have in the house and put them out for this summer to get some nice, you know, bright light to them. But we really need to start transitioning them back in. What's the best way to do that?
You know, I think where most people go wrong is that they leave it to last minute. And here I am. This is like a confessional. I'm guilty.
Yeah,
guilty,
me too.
Guilty. This year, try not to wait until the weather forecast is for frost in a few hours.
Right.
You know, try to give it a little bit of time, because it's always best to actually bring the plants in before the furnace is like blasting. You know,
mm-hmm.
That's ideal. To give them a little bit of a transition time before, you know, it's just a do-or-die type of situation. And so, what you want to do is, you know, look ahead in the forecast a little bit and start transitioning plants inside. Just bring them in and think about where you're putting them. That's so important. I think when you do the mad dash, you're less likely to actually do it with the position them properly. So, match each plant with the right window and put them close to the panes. Put them close to the window panes. And think about where the short plants should be closer to the panes, taller ones a little bit further away, and, you know, make sure everybody's getting enough light, and keep rotating them around. So when you're bringing them in, check them. Make sure that they don't have any insects. Give them a good look over. Check those root systems. Jill, I think so many people are afraid to pull a plant out of its pot and make sure that the roots are not pot-bound. Do that. You know, they don't mind that.
No, not at all. In fact, they probably would enjoy that.
Yeah, they like that. Mm-hmm. So give them a little check over. Make sure that if they need repotting, don't go crazy with it. Just do, I say 2 inches of a 2-inch graduation in pot is about all you should do on the container size. Give them, you know, when after you pot them, make sure the soil is, you know, is well tamped down around all the roots, and then bring them inside, give them a drink, keep an eye on them, make sure that they're, you know, not drying out too much, and in their new location, keep them away from heat sources, that sort of thing. Do not put them next to that wood stove.
No, not a good idea.
Not
a good idea at all. So what are your thoughts about the dirt that comes in with those plants? So if you're going to repot them, you're going to look at the roots, should you get rid of all that dirt and put fresh in, or should you just add to it?
Well, if you've, you know, it's not dirt, it's soil.
Okay, soil.
Okay.
Hand slapped.
That beautiful soil, what you want to do is always use a potting medium that you've either concocted yourself. You know, you can go online and find formulas, but best to buy it, you know. That way you know it's sterile and you know, it's got the right ratio of all the good stuff. And so use a good potting soil and you know, if you've dug the plant up or something like that, then remove most of the soil from the garden and give them, you know, the potting soils we use have a lot better drainage than your soil in the garden, because they're in containers.
Right, right. Well, we do have a listener with a call, so let's go talk to Don in Toma. Hi, Don. What's your question?
Yes, hello.
Hi.
Hi.
We inherited a hibiscus. I'm going to say tree. It's not a plant. It's in a pot. It's a perennial.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to put it down in our basement for the winter. We have a lot of windows, the southerly exposure. When would be the best time to prune this back, or is it now, or in the spring, or just keep it watered well?
Good, really good question, Don, because a lot of people are doing this. And you mentioned a hibiscus, and which is what we call a tender perennial. So in other words, it will keep growing, but it will not tolerate your frosts, your cold weather. So what I would suggest, now, the thing about hibiscus is that they often do drop their leaves when you bring them in. That's just that particular plant has that trait. So if that happens, don't faint, okay? Promise? Don't faint. So, but if they can drop leaves, I would suggest giving it a prune back so you don't have to watch those little histrionics that it's doing.
Right.
Just skip that whole thing and prune it back. Put it as close as you can to the window. Another thing, Don, about hibiscus, which is a trait that is pretty much hibiscus and not that many other plants, they are very sensitive to any type of gas, cooking or anything like that. So keep them away from the kitchen if you use, gas.
And how far should he cut that the hibiscus tree back? I mean, like a third, or what would your suggestion be?
Depends on the particular plant. A third is a really good ratio, Jill, I'm thinking. That's a very safe, that's very safe. So, you know, and again, if you begin to lose foliage, it will probably, hopefully, everyone I've, you know, talked to and every time I've done it, they grow back.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thank you, Don. Good luck
thank
with
you,
that
Don.
Hibiscus. If you have a question for Tova, give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to that address is ideas@wpr.org. So one of the things I think a lot of us are thinking, our plants did beautiful this year, our annuals. I know my coleus is huge. Is there a way for us to maybe take a cutting, or how do we save annuals for next year?
Really good question. And yes. You know, it's a really kind of a fun thing to do. So you can take cuttings of your coleus on the dwarfed varieties, and there's some really adorable little cuties on the market. You can often dig them up, or what I do on my planters from outside, I often, if I've got a combination pot, if I planted several plants in mm-hmm. the same container, I break them apart because they don't like to compete with each other. So I do that when I want to bring them indoors. So if you're taking a cutting, what you want to do is you want to take off maybe, depending on the size of the, you know, coleus come in many different sizes. So you want to take about three tiers of plant of leaves down and just snip those off at the tip. And you want to take off the lower leaves or any large leaves because they're, you know, that's just taking strength from the cutting. And you want to dip, if you can find some rooting hormone, just dip the tip in that and then put it in moist soil, keep it moist, firm that soil around the stem and keep it in a place that doesn't get bright light, and you've got a plant for next year or for to keep you happy over the winter, to keep you company.
Company, that's right.
Company.
I like that. Now, for those of us who don't have a lot of windows that get a lot of light, what are your thoughts on grow lights?
You can use grow lights, but I think people underestimate the power of east and west windows because they think that you've got to do south and bright. And that's not the case. I think that's, you know, something that I've broken that light barrier lots of times. And I have only like two south windows in my whole house. I've got a house full of plants.
Uh-huh.
Those coleus are going to do just fine in east or west. As far as lights, you want to be careful, you know, make sure the grow light is close enough to the plant. I think that's where a lot of people go wrong. The light has to really, you know, and you'll see recommendations on that. So get a good full spectrum grow light and keep it, you know, close enough to the plant that it really helps. It can also be supplemental.
Right, absolutely. We're talking about bringing outside plants in with gardening guru Tova Martin. Join in the conversation by calling 800-642-1234 or send an email to ideas@wpr.org. Our on-air producer today is Natalie Guyette, and Trina LaSouza is our technical director. This is a Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Join us every Friday for Garden Talk, or you can listen again on Saturday mornings at 6. And you can also go online and you can listen anytime. So if you miss something, just go there and you can hear it again. Coming up next week on Garden Talk, Patty Nagai will be back to talk about getting your garden ready for winter. And of course, take your gardening questions like we are doing right now. And Tova, let's go right back to the phones. We've got Deb in Boulder Junction who has a question for us. Hi, Deb.
Good morning. What I'd like to know is I bought a mandevilla in June. It's been outside in a pot. What is the best way of wintering that mandevilla?
You know, they make great houseplants, Deb. They really do. It's just a matter of give the mandevilla as much light as you possibly can. It might not blossom for you over the winter, depending upon how much light you have. It might blossom, but it probably, you know, it might not. So, but that doesn't mean that it's not being happy, you know. Next year it'll perform again. So, bring it indoors. Give it a south window if you can, or any type of bright window. And what you probably want to do is think about rotating it, you know, exposing all the sides to even light, because I bet you it's been pretty energetic and might have grown kind of large.
And how much should you take off on that mandevilla then? Should you trim that back about a third too, or...?
She doesn't have to. Mm-hmm. That's a vine, and she could probably just wind that around a little more. It's not necessary to cut everything back because, you know, I bet you have some pretty beautiful plants up there in Wisconsin that have been, you know, are your pride and joy.
Yeah,
You don't have to cut everything back.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you, Deb. Let's go now to Pat in the UP. Hi, Pat.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call. I have a Boston fern that seems to be very, very root bound, and I want to bring it inside, but I don't know what to do with it, how to break it apart, or if I should leave it.
You don't have to break it apart, Pat, but they are thirsty, thirsty plants, those Boston ferns, very thirsty. So if I were you, I would give it a graduation in its container. And when I brought it in, I would make sure that you keep it watered. That's so critical. They slurp up that water like nobody's business. And so just keep it watered, keep your eye on it, and give it, you know, a good larger container.
Okay. And we've got another question about Boston ferns. She has two, and she would like to winterize them. I imagine that's pretty much the same thing as what you just said, Tova?
It is. If she's wondering whether they're hardy outdoors, they're not. Boston ferns are quite tender, so they're going to have to come indoors. Ferns in general, Boston ferns specifically, like a fair amount of humidity. So if you see any of the, you know, fronds beginning to wilt or, you know, whistle up or something like that, take them off and, you know, think about running a humidifier maybe. But watering is critical.
Okay. And we had David from Rensselaer, Minnesota email to ask about overwintering their potted canna lilies.
Okay. You know, I think that people miss a great opportunity with cannas. I have actually brought some indoors, and they make great houseplants, and they're beautiful outdoors, and then you get the winter show. So if you, you know, think about bringing them indoors and using them as houseplants. In other words, no need to just store them in the basement. You could, you know, enjoy enjoy it. They don't need a whole lot of light. They could take an east or west window just fine, and they'll continue to grow. If the plant is very large, you can cut it back to the base, and the new little growth will come up if you, you know, with the light that you're giving it and water.
So then will it bloom again next spring or summer out in the garden?
It will.
Okay.
You can just take it outside. And again, if you want to sort of, you know, revitalize it, you can cut it back down again and it'll shoot up again. And you'll get those gorgeous leaves and you'll get those gorgeous flowers. And it'll be, you know, you'll just be extending the show.
Okay. And before we go to another email, I just want to let you know we have open lines. So 800-642-1234. Any of your gardening questions, Tova can tackle for you. Bob from Madison emailed to say that last winter he had a bad case of scale on his Meyer lemon when it was indoors. What can he do now that it is outside to prevent a return of the scale this winter when he brings it back inside?
Well, scale is a real foe for indoor gardeners, and I hate to say it, but the citrus, unfortunately, is one of the first that they attack. It's a crying shame, but it's the truth. So I would suggest that he really give his Meyer lemon a good check over. Really check it out, and if he finds any, just, you know, you can use soap to scrub that leaf, that sort of thing. Its scale is, you know, can be difficult to treat, and you want to check, and, you know, anything you use, make sure it is registered for treating scale. And when you do work with it, and I'm organic. Joe mentioned that I'm organic, so you want to, you know, use we always start with the easiest thing, like some sort of soap, Safer's insecticidal soap or that sort of thing, if it's registered for that. And so when you apply it, remember to keep, you know, if you're treating something, I think what most people forget is you have to continue to, you know, do more than one application usually, because you want to get any, you know, residual issues mm-hmm. out of the way. It's not, when you're working with organics, it's usually not a one-shot deal. You have to continue being, you know, to really get any future generations.
Okay, thank you very much for that, Bob. And Mary emailed, and she wanted to know how to prepare her dahlias for winter.
Oh, that's a really good question. So dahlias are going to go dormant, and what she wants to do is, you don't have to rush them in before the last frost, but you can if you want, you know, if you're nervous about it. I take and I shake off all the soil from the roots. I cut off the tops, and then I, the growth,
mm-hmm.
and I shake off the soil, and then I lay them out on some newspaper in the sun to dry out for, you know, maybe 24 hours or so, and let them dry, and then I store them. Everybody's basement or, you know, storage area is a little different. In mine, I have perfectly good luck just putting each variety in a paper bag and storing it. Some people use wood shavings. Some people, you know, kind of layer them with newspaper. Whatever, you know, keep checking them and making sure they aren't too, you know, they aren't too shriveled up. And, you know, if they are, you might want to just, you know, put them in make sure that they have a little bit more, moisture, you know, that they aren't being dried up too much.
Mm-hmm. Because you have to be careful for rot too, right? So you don't want to go too extreme.
You don't want to go the other way.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Exactly. Exactly.
And, you know, they'll be fine in your basement or, you know, I usually try to keep them in kind of a cool basement. Again, they don't want to be frosted, though.
Okay. All right. Got to keep that in mind. So thank you for that email. Speaking of bulbs, a lot of people, you know, get amaryllis for the holidays. And can you bring that back? Is it too late for this time of year? Or what should you do with that bulb?
Exactly the right time, Jill.
Okay.
Exactly the right time. You want to put them through. You cut them any growth back. And let them go into a little bit of a dormancy. In other words, you know, you might want to withhold water for a month or two.
Okay.
You know, a few weeks of no water. And then they get, you know, they sort of get the message that they've got flower time. So they get the flower time message, and then they start, you know, making their growth. You could put them back into a bright window or, you know, anything that will stimulate that growth to start again. But don't feel too bad if they kind of are holding off, because varieties are different. Some, you know, are earlier, some are later. Don't give up.
Okay. Good to
That's
know.
The message.
All right. Well, I've got one right now that needs to be told that it needs to start flowering. So I will give it the message. Let's go back to the phones. Carol Ann in Cedar Grove has a question. Hi, Carol Ann.
Hi. I was wondering about a fig tree that I have, and I kept in the house last fall and last winter, and then I have goji berry. I was wondering if I could plant those out yet this fall or what to do with them.
Your fig, are you speaking of the edible fig?
Yes.
Okay, good, because as you know, there's lots of different figs, and some are just ornamental, but the edible fig will probably not be hardy in your area. There are a few that survive in Chicago land there, but it depends upon the variety. And so, to be safe, I would suggest bringing it in. You know, they go through this. They drop all their leaves, and that's normal. Don't faint again. Don't faint. But they drop all their leaves, and they look kind of like cigars. They're not very pretty at that point. But if you can, you know, just put them you could put them in a corner or someplace like that. They don't need hardly any heat. Your basement will probably be okay. And just let them go through that. And then they, you know, begin to grow again in the spring. I just give the most minimal water, you know, just so they know I still love them, kind of, even though they look so ugly. And were you asking about the goji berry?
Yes.
Yeah. Now, I have always been given to believe that was hardy outdoors, but you might have it potted. Is it potted or what?
Yeah, no, it's potted yet.
It's potted. So, you know, to be honest, I've never tried that as a houseplant, but I think it's going to work for you, and it's definitely worth a try. Try to give that baby as much light as you possibly can. So, you know, not only do you put it in a, you know, bright window, but remember to rotate it. That's so important for houseplants.
Okay. Well, thank you, Carol Ann. Appreciate that question. Let's go on to Alice in Prairie du Sac. Hi, Alice.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My darling daughter-in-law gave me a little miniature rose for Mother's Day in a cute little teapot. And I took it out after a few days and just, you know, put it in a pot, and I've had it outside, and it has performed beautifully. Mm. I've never had a rose before, and I would try to get, like, to keep it until next year, and I wondered if that's possible.
Absolutely, Alice. You know, the miniature roses were really bred. They can be houseplants. It's a beautiful, beautiful thing. They might not bloom a whole lot, or they might bloom, you know, if you had a bright window. They might bloom for you, but they might take a little bit of a rest, especially, you know, when the light levels get very low toward, you know, the shortest days of the year. They might begin to blossom for you very, very early in the spring, much earlier than, you know, plants outdoors begin to break dormancy. So what you want to do is, you mentioned that you already repotted it from that teapot. Really good idea. You're headed in the right direction. So just bring that plant indoors. I wouldn't push it by repotting it again unless it's, you know, really pot-bound. But just, you know, bring it in, give it as much light as you can. They don't need a very warm place. If you happen to have a room that was like a maybe a porch that was, or maybe a breezeway that's not so warm as the main part of the house, that would be best for it.
Okay, good luck, Alice. You know, I've had good luck putting miniature roses outside and overwintering them in the ground.
Jill, you're right. There mm-hmm. are several. Some of them are very hardy, amazingly.
Yes.
It depends on the one you got, but a lot of them are pretty hardy. But, you know, if she's got it in a pot and she wants to enjoy that preview in spring, she can also go that route.
Absolutely. And speaking of pots, we had Nikki in Milwaukee who sent us an email asking about what kind of outdoor, like summer garden container plants do you recommend, and what kind of pots do you use?
So summer container plants, is she wondering about...
Which ones are good to overwinter?
To overwinter,
yeah.
Okay. We mentioned coleus, which is a great, great option. I do a lot of different things. I do the cigar plants, the cufias. We already mentioned mandevillas. They make fine house plants. Let's think of other ones. I do a lot of them, of different plants. Many of the container plants, like... even the Dusty Millers.
Oh, yeah.
They make Dusty Millers such a pretty little house plant.
It is.
It entertained me all last year, and then I bring in a lot of herbs too, herbs that are not hardy, or even herbs that are hardy. Actually, I bring in geraniums. Zonal leaf geraniums. I bring those in and enjoy those as houseplants. They blossom throughout the winter. So they're great as houseplants. Any of the peperomias that you might be using, Plectranthus, Alternantheras. You know what makes a great houseplant? Those little miniature vincas.
Oh.
They blossom up a storm.
I had no idea. I never would have thought about that.
You know, last year, that was my surprise.
What about annuals like impatiens, things like that?
You know, impatiens, some of them work. Some of them are, if you got the ones that are very tropical, what am I thinking of, South African ones. They can be nice house plants, but some of the ones that, you know, they can be a little bit fussy.
Yeah, and they get leggy too, don't they?
They get leggy. You can always cut them back. But, you know, impatiens are so, the New Guinea ones, that's what I'm thinking of. New Guinea ones make excellent houseplants. But some of the other ones that are like the bedding type,
mm-hmm.
not great. Not great. They get, they can get aphids, they can get red spider, they can get, white fly. So.
Oh, yeah. Scratch those off your list if you're planning to do those.
You don't want to introduce wildlife into your house.
No, you do not want to do that. Artova Martin is our guest on Garden Talk today. She is the author of many gardening books, a horticulture industry veteran, and a speaker and trainer. Join in with your questions. We have open lines, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. You're listening to Garden Talk on the Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. Join us again on Monday when we'll talk with one of our tech experts and answer your tech questions. I'm sure you've got tons of them. That's Monday at 11 on the Ideas Network. And right now we are talking about plants, of course, and bringing them in, among other things. So let's go to the phone. We've got Renee in Viroqua who has a question for you. Hi, Renee.
Hi, thank you. I'd like to know if I can move my peonies now and or can I divide them also?
You're absolutely right. This is the time to do it. This is divide them up, increase and multiply. Autumn is the best time to do that.
Okay, great. Well, now I've got to go do mine. Thanks a lot. Mine are getting pretty sad. Let's go to Gwen in Oshkosh. Hi, Gwen.
Hi. I have a question about a poinsettia plant that I've had. This will be the third year this Christmas. And I move it outside. And I still have a few red leaves on it, and I think, like, it needs shaping. But what do I, if I shape it right now, is that okay?
Wow.
And also, what do, yeah, do to make it turn red again?
Well, the red part, those are actually bracts. And I, congratulations, applause all around on that you've kept your poinsettia for 3 years now.
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Many people are going to be wanting to know your secrets on that. So you're almost the expert because I have never even tried that. I just, you know, go for new each year. But what you want to do is they need, and you can go online to check the actual timing of this, they need hours of, you know, they need diminished light for, to be put in the closet for hours, you know, certain hours so that they don't, you know, get light. And that initiates the blooming process. The bracts are surrounding the blooms. So what you're doing is you're sparking that to happen. So if I were you, I would cut them back, it back at this point, and try to get that to happen again. You know, you'll have a more shapely plant, and it, you know, be sure that you've got, you're going to a leaf node to make sure that there's, you know, it can branch at that point, and give it its closet segment, and then you know, and then bring it out to bright light so that it can be, you know, it can form those bracts.
Okay, now I've always heard that because the poinsettia is a Mexican plant, mm-hmm. that to make it get those red bracts and flower, they like the 12 hours of sunlight, 12 hours of dark, and that's kind of, Is that kind of what you're talking about?
Exactly.
Okay. All right.
Exactly. That it needs it needs that rest. It's actually a spark for it. It answers that call. It says, "Oh, I'm getting the right amount of darkness. This is when I bloom."
Right.
You know. So
mm-hmm.
You're sending that message to it.
Right. Okay. Well, thanks for that question, Gwen. Appreciate it. Bonnie in Brookfield has a question too. Hi, Bonnie.
Hi. Yes, I wanted to try to perhaps bring my herbs in this year, and I've never done that. So I was wondering if you have any suggestions. I have dill and oregano and Italian parsley and some others, and just wondering if you have any suggestions.
I sure do, and it's such a good idea, Bonnie. Really good idea, and it's going to work. It's going to work for you. I do it all the time, and it's going to make your life so wonderful over the winter, especially when you walk by and give that herb a little, pinch. Just
rubbing it too. It just
It's going to. Those wonderful aromas are going to float right into the air, and you're going to love it, especially your oregano. And so what you want to do is, do you have them in pots now, or are they in the ground?
Bonnie?
But everything else is basically in the ground.
Okay. Everything's in the ground on the herbs. So the dill is probably not going to work for the digging up part of it. But if you want dill, you can just plant some seeds indoors in pots, and you'll get some more dill. So there you go with that one. But the oregano and your Italian parsley, what I do is I just take and dig them up, make sure you get as much roots as you possibly can, and then I pot them up, give it a generous pot. Don't try to put it in a tiny little container, because I find that herbs are quite thirsty, and I also find that herbs like a lot of root room. You know, they like a deep pot. That's where they go best. And your Italian parsley, when it get, you know, it might blossom and then, you know, because it's a biennial, it might blossom and then think it's time to go to seed and call it a day. But you'll probably get quite a bit of pleasure from it before that, and a lot of harvest for dinner. So give them as much light as you possibly can when you bring them indoors, and water them generously.
Okay. Good luck with that, Bonnie.
Yeah.
And Tova, when those herbs do flower, can you pinch that off to then keep the herb growing better and fuller, or should you leave those on?
If she is growing something like basil, yes, that will work, because basil is a tender perennial, but unfortunately, parsley is a biennial, so once it gets it in its little head...
it's time to go? It's gone.
It is time to make babies.
Okay, all right. We had a listener email to say that they recently repotted several orchids with a bark mixture specifically for them while blooming... has a lower leaf that is yellowing. What should they do with that yellow leaf?
If that leaf is yellowing and beginning to look like it's calling it a day, I would just remove it. That's what I always suggest to people, by the way. If something is looking really yellow, I mean, there's difference between pale, which means it's hungry and might need some more food, and then, you know, just like yellow, on the way to brown.
Yeah, sometimes it's just time to go. So.
Yeah, it's time to take that leaf off and make sure you don't, you know, because then you kind of eliminate all the problems that come with decaying leaves. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Okay, well, let's go to Kay in Wisconsin Dells. Hi, Kay. You have a question about a Rose of Sharon?
Yes, I have several of them. And I don't know what happened, but some of them have dead branches on it. And I wondered if now is the time to prune them, prune those dead branches off.
Yes, clean that baby up. And this is a very good time to do that. Just, you know, I love to shape up my shrubs in the autumn. There's a few that don't like, you know, that, like buddleias and that sort of thing, don't really like to be, you know, messed with in the autumn. But most of them, you know, if you shape them up now, you're going to look out at a you know, a beautiful skeleton throughout the winter. And I love to do that. I love to, you know, I love it to look, you know, kind of manicured for the winter. That's part of your winter, you know, landscape.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kay. And let's go to another Kay in Berlin. Hi, Kay.
Good morning. I have two questions. The first one, I have a very small hosta that has survived over the winter but hasn't really grown much. Can I bring that in the house and grow it so it gets bigger for the spring? And also, I have apple and plum and pear trees that we inherited when we moved in this house a year ago. It's got a lot of suckers. Do we trim now or trim in the spring?
So on the hostas, you're wondering if you can bring, they're not actually miniatures, they're just small hostas. Is that it?
Yeah, it just hasn't grown much.
It's and you're wondering if you could bring it indoors to kind of give it a little extra growing time?
Yeah.
Yeah, you can do that. You know, it might go dormant, but usually for me, they've waited quite a while before they went dormant, and I've got a lot of, you know, pleasure out of them in the meantime. I actually do it with ornamental grasses a lot, too. I, you know, get that a little bit of extra time. I've actually done it with little blue stem and things like that. Just enjoy them indoors. So you can definitely do that on your apple, plum, and pear suckers. I take suckers off or whenever I have time to do it. But, you know, if I do the actual, you know, I think the actual pruning of shaping a fruit tree is something that is usually done a little bit more toward midwinter. Some people tell me that that's just because that's when orchardists have the most time to do it. And but, you know, I'm not an expert on fruit trees, but I understand that, you know, most people do it, you know, late winter and that sort of thing.
And if you're looking for more information on that, the UWM Extension does have some really good information on their website that you can download about pruning fruit trees in general, actually. So that might be a good place to start, too. We were going to talk a little bit about bringing perennials in, some shade-loving perennials. In the 3 minutes or so we've got left, what are some other good ones to bring in?
Oh, wow. There's some, you know, I think this is a frontier that gardeners need to explore, because there's so many wonderful, like, heuchera and tiarella, you know, the foam flower and the coral bells, actually miniature hostas. I brought those into some of the hardy ferns. I actually sometimes even do it with columbines. I bring them in. And so you get, especially the heuchera and heucherella and tiarellas, you get the beautiful foliage. And, you know, I mean, here's this plant that is so much easier than like a Rex begonia grow. And it's just as pretty.
Mm-hmm.
And so they come in all colors. They're really ravishingly beautiful plants. And they're as easy as pie to grow as houseplants. So I do that a lot. And as I mentioned, I do my little blue stem inside. I do a lot of, of the grasses indoors. Actually, a lot of the sedges, I bring those in. I even bring in the, the conifers.
Oh.
Yeah. Junipers are really easy houseplants.
Wow, who knew?
Yeah.
I love that. Sounds like a whole new book for you, Tova.
Yeah, there you go.
We've been talking with Tova Martin. She's the author of many wonderful gardening books, and she just has one of her latest ones, The Garden in Every Season, Sense and Season, is out on paperback. So you might want to take a look at that. I'm Jill Nadeau, in for Larry Mueller today. Stay with us. There's always more to come. Glad to have you with us on the Ideas Network today. I'm Jill Nadeau. I'm in for Larry Mueller. Our guest today on Garden Talk can answer your questions about houseplants and outdoor plants as well. Tova Martin is back with us. She's a perennial, heirloom, vegetable, and cottage gardener, and she's accredited as an organic land care professional. She's also an author of many gardening books, including her latest, The Garden in Every Sense and Season, which is now out in paperback. Do you have a plant question? Well, give us a call. Lines are open, 800-642-1234. And you can also email us at ideas@wpr.org. You know, Tova, one of the things that I wanted to ask you that we haven't gotten to yet, what are your thoughts on fertilizing plants in the winter?
That's a really good question because people, I guess food does not equal love.
Tell that to our fat animals.
Not in the middle of the winter, anyway.
We're all guilty of that.
In the middle of the winter, when light levels are low, I don't fertilize my houseplants. I stop fertilizing on Thanksgiving Day. It's an easy way to remember it. Thanksgiving to March 1st,
okay.
I don't fertilize my plants. But there's, of course, in everything, there's exceptions. And citrus are very hungry plants.
Yes.
And so I do continue to fertilize my citrus. And with everything with nature, you kind of have to, check things out and keep on top of things. So if your plant is beginning to look, the foliage is beginning to look pale or something like that, that's probably it telling you, I'm hungry. So don't say, Tova said you don't get any food.
Do you have a fertilizer that you like to use, a good multi-purpose one?
I'm organic again, so mm-hmm. I go with a fish emulsion. And a fish emulsion fertilizer, yes, it does have a smell.
It does.
It does. But, it's just fertilize and then go shopping or something.
That's the thought.
Go away for a few hours.
There you go. Do you use it every time you water?
No.
Okay.
Well, I thanks to Larry, my citrus is getting a lot more food than ever before. And, he's got Limey, his lime.
Right.
And Limey is apparently quite demanding.
I think he spoils Limey. I think that's the deal. Every time he waters Limey, he uses fish emulsion. I think it's a pretty weak solution.
He dilutes it quite a bit.
Yeah.
I've started. I don't do it quite that much, but I do it about once a week on my citrus. I give them a very dilute fertilizer, but everything else I do in the summer, and when I'm fertilizing in the spring, summer, and early fall, I do it once about every 3 weeks.
All right, great. Yeah. Well, let's go back to the phones. We've got Dot in Chippewa Falls who has a question for you. Hi, Dot.
Hi, I have a question. I have wax begonias that I brought in from the garden. And I was wondering, you know, I had them mostly in the shade out there. So if I should place them, where I should place them in the house, and how often to water, and how far to cut back, and what to treat with if they get any bugs.
So did you say wax begonias?
Yeah. Yeah,
okay, just
beautiful.
Making sure because it was a little hard to hear whether it was wax or Rex. Begonias are the ones that we love for the little flowers, and they're quite beautiful in their blossoms and beautiful tradition to grow them outside. So when you bring them in, what you want to do is you might want to give them a little bit of a haircut just to shape them up. And if you have an east or west facing window, that would be the very best for them. Begonias like they like warmth. They really do. So try to put them, you know, in a window that's kind of like a warm window. In other words, don't place them too close to the panes where it might be chilly. And water them lightly. Don't overwater any kind of begonia because they won't thank you for it. You want to water them when they're dry and then wait until the soil dries out again and then give them a drink. So I think I've answered all your questions on that. Oh, you asked about bugs. Begonias don't get a whole lot of trouble. You know, they're fairly easy plants, really. So don't trouble if trouble isn't troubling you.
I'm going to have to put that on a pillow. Thank you, Tova. And thank you for the question, Dot. Let's go to Jeff and Mary Mac next. Hi, Jeff.
Hello.
Hi, what's your question?
Yes, I have some hostas that I want to pot up or moving, and I want to keep them over winter. Would it be good to just, what I did is I put them on a bunch of wood chips and kind of buried them into that, and then once it freezes, I'm going to cover it over. Should they overwinter okay then?
They should if you can keep those wood chips moist enough. That's what I'm worried about on this plan, that, you know, the wood chips might not keep the roots moist enough because they might drain too quickly. You could try mixing in some, maybe some leaf, leaf litter in there to give it a little bit, you know, to keep it a little moister. You said you're moving, and so you're trying to keep them. Is it the old location they're at or the new location?
They're at the old house, and we divided them, and I put them in pots, you know, with some compost, and then I put them on this wood chip, and then I'm going to, once it freezes, I want to cover it, like, with a marsh hay.
So they're in pots.
Right, they're in pots.
Yeah, okay, well, good. Okay, you got it. That's a really good plan. So, they should be okay. And you could cover the, you know, I don't think you really need to do the covering with any type of tarp or anything like that, because I think that's gonna.
He said hay marsh, or marsh hay rather. So
yeah. I think that's a pretty good plan. Okay. For them.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks, Jeff. And let's go to Vern and Nina next. Hi, Vern.
Hi. How are you today?
I'm great. What's your question?
Well, I want to know something about tulip bulbs. I want to plant a bunch of them on the south side of my house, a whole row, 60 feet long. And is it too early to plant them now, or should I wait a couple weeks?
On your tulips, if I were you, it's hard to tell. Around here, our bulbs are just arriving, actually, and I've been putting mine sort of in the refrigerator, waiting, you know, for it to get a little bit more, you know, a little cooler, because I want them to start growing in the ground, but I don't want them to start. I want them to put down roots, but I don't want them to make any growth above the ground. So I haven't been following your weather. Jill, can you help us with this?
Yeah, it's been in the 70s during the day, down in the 50s at night, and I would suggest you wait. I was looking at the forecast today, in about 10 days, it looks like it's going to start dropping and getting close to freezing in our area. But you can plant those anytime until the ground, you can't dig them anymore. I mean, I've been out there chipping them before, so I would wait. I would definitely wait.
Yeah, I would wait. I would wait, too. I mean, you don't want to wait until it's, like, uncomfortable.
Right. Well, that's just it. It's cold. It hurts you, not the bulb. But,
exactly.
I mean, I'm thinking, you know, more towards the end of the month would be the best bet.
That's when I plan to put mine in.
Yeah. And as far as how deep, Fern, because he wanted to ask that question, too. But it should tell you in the package, right? But
yeah, they usually say, like, the depth of the bulb, like, so tulips are usually like 5 or 6 inches down.
Yeah. Yep. Okay. Well, good luck, Vern. I'm sure that's going to look very pretty come spring.
It sure is. Yeah, Vern.
Next up, we've got Bruce in Gilman. Hi, Bruce.
Yeah. Hi. I keep this flower window box with geraniums in it, and I bring it in the wintertime, and then I usually bring in another plant or two to try and get them through the winter. And it seems like towards spring, I notice I get white flies, and I heard your guest talking about that. Is there something I could do, or a systemic, or is it one plant? I also have a variegated fern. I don't know what it is. I'm guessing it's tropical, with impatiens around the bottom of it, and I wanted to bring that in or get it over winter, you know.
Now, that probably won't have any problem with your white fly on the fern. The impatiens might have trouble, but the fern won't. But on the geranium, I hear you with the white fly, and the reason why that happens is usually and wet. You hit that nail right on the head when you said it happens more towards spring. So when the temperatures in your house start getting warm, the insects, you know, sort of wake up and take advantage. So if you keep your thermostat kind of low-ish, if you can stand to be it, wear sweaters rather than crank up the heat, that's going to help a lot. But if you, I'm not telling you that you have to go around, you know, being cold. There's other remedies for white fly, and you could try the sticky traps, you know, those yellow sticky traps. They are supposed to help, and that's an organic, you know, method to work with. That's the one that I usually use, to tell you the truth.
Okay. Thank you, Bruce. And let's go to Bill in Racine. Hi, Bill.
Hi.
What can we help you with?
I'm wondering, Yeah, I've got a issue with transplanting a knockout rose. For years, I still have this older knockout, and I decided I liked that one so much I was going to buy another one, and I did. I bought it 2 years ago, and I asked them at the nursery, you know, I don't want a real big grower, you know, because, you know, it isn't a big area.
Mm-hmm.
Well, anyways, I planted that knockout 2 years ago. It stayed small the first year. The second year, that's this year, it's unbelievable how much it's grown.
Mm.
What I want to do is transplant that thing. I got to move it somewhere else. Is now the time to transplant that knockout, or should I wait till the spring? And then when do you prune these?
Well, you know, I think you hit the nail on the head with the pruning thing, because that is one way to keep large plants under control. And roses love to be pruned, actually. They really do. They seem to really respond well to pruning. Rather than pruning now, they say that if you prune now, you're sort of sending a message to the rose that it should branch out, and it puts a little bit too much energy into that. So if I were you, I'd wait till spring. I'd also wait till spring to transplant. I don't have any luck at all, and I'm in New England, in a cold section of New England. I'm almost in the Berkshires. So I don't have any luck transplanting most things at this late in the year. I find that waiting to spring until spring is a much better idea on shrubs.
Yeah,
on shrubs. Yeah,
yeah. I have to agree with you on that one. So wait, just wait a little bit, Bill. Just wait till spring, and you can do it. We've got another call from Andrea in Door County. Hi, Andrea.
Hi, Tova. And
hey.
Oh my gosh, Thank you so much for this great program. I just love the intelligence of nature.
I like that.
Yeah.
Thank you for tuning in.
Absolutely. I am wanting to save and store some tulip bulbs that I want to force indoors.
Mm.
I've never done it before. And I'm wondering what is the best strategy and when to start forcing them.
The only thing I haven't done in this configuration that you're talking about, I've never tried to dig any up and force them. I've always bought new ones on the tulips and tried that. So here's what I do on that. I take and I, you know, when they come in, I put them in the refrigerator and I kind of wait until maybe late November, Thanksgiving, that time, and a little past that even. And then I pop them up in their container, and I put that back in the refrigerator. And then I cover it with something like, it's, you know, some sort of aluminum foil or something so that it doesn't affect the thermostat on the refrigerator. And then I just wait, you know, I just forget about them and for about 6 to 8 weeks. Then I start checking them for new growth. And usually they'll make new growth, you know, start making growth about then, take them out of the refrigerator and put them into a bright window, and then they just pop up.
Okay, there you go. Good luck. Good luck. And let us know if digging them up works the same as getting fresh ones.
I'm curious.
Yeah, me too. So thank you. Mary emailed that she has a large rose that's in a container. Does she bring the container in, or can it tolerate being outside? And I don't know where she lives, so I'm not sure.
She's got a large rose in a container. It's, you know, she could try putting it in the ground and hoping for the best. That's one option.
Mm-hmm.
Or she could, you know, big rose, miniature rose should be the same theory. And in fact, the Victorians used to do it all the time. They used to bring roses in. They would cut them way back and they'd make them, you know, branch again, and they would have, you know, theoretically, maybe in spring you'd have a rose or two. So it's definitely worth a try, and I don't think it's going to hurt that rose at all to bring it in.
Okay, great. Now, Linda from Waukesha emailed and would like to know how to keep her bumper crop of portulacas over winter. She heard that they can come back the next warm season.
They should be able to. I believe they're hardy for you. And they should just come back. Am I right?
I don't know. I'm not familiar with that at all.
Portulaca. I always thought they were, you know, that certain ones were hardy. But, you know, when in doubt, she could always, you know, they sort of creep around. So she could always scoop some up, put them in a pot, and bring them in. And then, you know, then she's got all her bases covered.
Okay. Liz from Wausau emailed to say that she dug up strawberry plants that she purchased this spring that were in straw bales and potted them up. But, of course, the critters got all the berries, so she wanted to bring them indoors to enjoy berries this winter. What does she need to do for them?
Liz, that's a really good trick, and I hope everybody's listening because you can have actually strawberries really early in the year if you put them in a bright window. So if I were her, I would just, you know, pot them into some fairly good soil. And, you know, if they stop growing or if they even die back, they'll be okay. And then just, you know, put them in the window. Rotate them in the window. It cool as she can keep it. If she's got, again, a porch that is barely heated or something like that, that would be the best for them. But I've done it in just regular windows, and they just start, you know, growing again in spring to beat the band and looking great.
Oh, I love that. I am so going to try that. Although,
yeah.
I don't know if you can get strawberry plants this time of year, but I'm going to try to keep that in mind.
You can take your runners. Just take those runners from, you know, when they make runners, give it a little experiment.
Yeah, that's a very good idea. I like that. You know, you need to experiment because, you know, that's the only way you find stuff out, right?
Yeah, and what else do we have to do in the winter?
Exactly, exactly. Sandy emailed wanting to know, how should she care for her mother of millions when she brings it in? What kind of soil and light?
I think what she's talking about is the kalanchoe that they call mother of millions. And, you know, unfortunately, with common names, there's maybe more than one mother of millions, but
yeah.
If it's the kalanchoe, it likes a lot of light, and it will, you know, you want to give it as much light as you possibly can, but it doesn't need a very warm place.
Okay. Well, thank you, and thank you for being with us today, Tova. We really, really appreciate it.
I had so much fun.
Excellent. Well, coming up next week on Garden Talk, Patty Nagai will be back to talk about getting your garden ready for winter and take your other gardening questions. I'm Jill Nadeau. Thanks for listening to the Ideas Network. Stay well and enjoy your weekend.